Today is the 10th. We've got two more weeks or so before Christmas. And I don't know about you guys, but I love Christmas. It's great. I'm sure you guys have all heard about the Night of Hope. And we're having it at the Cottonwood High School. It is from 7 to 8:30. So if you get there at 6:30, all you'll have to do is just hang out with all of us and fellowship. Isn't that tough? I hope you really come. And I really hope that you have a neighbor or two that you can invite. It's not a church thing. We're not doing a church. It's not one church or any church. It's just the body of Christ, and we just want to have hope. In fact, it's not just the body of Christ. It's people. People that need hope. I don't know about you, but I need hope. But I already know where I find my hope. Where do you find your hope? Find in Jesus. And we have a whole community out there that needs hope. So we're looking forward to who will show up, be praying for the event, and I hope all of you will be able to be there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you came as a baby, and that you came so that you could save my soul. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to celebrate this season when everyone, whether they like it or not, they're talking about you. Christmas. I just love you, Lord Jesus. Bless us today. Help us to hear the word that you have. And Lord, I ask that you would change my heart and change every heart that hears. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, it's been a little while since I've been back up here, but you're all looking better than you did last time. Isn't that good? The title of my message today is Why Jesus Came. And I think that sometimes during the Christmas season, we forget all about why Jesus came. We're celebrating. You know, I have to buy gifts for Anna. And so most of my thought is, how do I buy a gift for Anna? You know, she's a retro 50s, 60s kind of girl, and you never know. I mean, how do you figure out Anna? But the other nice thing about Anna is no matter what you get her, she's going to be happy. Isn't that right, Anna? But not everybody's that way. And so it can be a season of stress. The story really is about God himself in his first coming. And he came down as a little baby so he could become the perfect sacrifice for all of us who are hopelessly lost. I don't know about you, but I'm hopelessly lost without him. I'm saved, but without him, I wouldn't continue to be saved. But he continues to save me. Christmas is a celebration of our redemption and the hope that we have in him. But we forget that sometimes. We forget what Christmas is really all about. I preached about this before. I preached about how I used to be a Christmas grump. I didn't like Christmas. All the fuss and the muss. And I tell a story of how the worst thing about Christmas for me is Christmas carolers. Bunch of people who can't sing that come up to your door and expect you to stand in the cold and watch them sing at you when there's something else you want to do. Now, any of you that liked a Christmas carol, that's fine. Enjoy. But I didn't like it. I didn't like shopping. I didn't like having to put up Christmas lights. I didn't like, you know, I was the original bah humbug.
Amen.
Yes. Didn't want to wrap gifts. I still don't want to wrap gifts. I want them to look nice, and they don't quite turn out very well when I wrap them. Well, that'd be better. Tinfoil. How many of you have been at one point or another, or still are, kind of a Christmas grump? You get in the car and you try to go to the store. Has anybody seen the traffic around the malls and the stores. It's a mess. And we're supposed to be joy to the world. But one year, God began to speak to me. And he said, Dave, Christmas is a celebration of the hope and the redemption that we have in Jesus. And when you go around being a bah humbug, all you're telling your neighbors is, I don't really care about Jesus. And I didn't want to do that. And God transformed me into from a Christmas grump to a Christmas goof. We had to have extra power brought into our house so I could have all the lights on at one time. My house was nothing but Christmas lights. And we decorated and we did things and we went to parties and we shopped. And, you know, I just love Christmas. Now, I've kind of slowed down a little bit, but I think that's more my age than it is my lack of desire for Christmas. But guys, we're celebrating the birth of God himself in our world, his coming to the earth to save our souls. That's what we're celebrating. And how many can get into that? How many can get into that? Oh, come on. How many can get into that? Yeah, there we go. Jesus was born. You know, the story starts as a little innocent baby. And yet that baby, his only goal in life was to die. You know, he didn't come to the earth thinking, I'm going to become an engineer. Or I'm going to become a pastor of a church. Well, nobody's goal is that. I'm going to become a cook. I'm going to become this. I'm going to become that. I want to be a father or mother and raise a bunch of kids. No. His goal wasn't even to become a carpenter, though he was a carpenter. What was his goal? His whole goal in life. I mean, how exciting can this be? My goal is to be tormented and tortured and die. That's what the baby came for. Because he knew that you needed a Savior. That's Christmas, guys. Do you realize that? That's Christmas. Our celebration comes from his promise of redemption and eternal life. His promise is that he came, but that also he's going to come again. You realize that? Contained in his birth is a promise that he is coming again. And so today my sermon really is Jesus came and he's coming again. Now, anybody knows me, they know that I love what? Eschatology. I love the study of end times, Jesus coming back. So I wasn't going to get a chance to preach about Jesus coming without talking about his coming again, right? Because after all, is there anything more exciting? I was thinking this week, how cool is it that we're living in a time when we can look back and 2,000 years ago and we can see Jesus and he came as a little baby. We're celebrating Christmas. And yet, think about it, guys. We're on the cusp of the end of the world as we know it. We're right there. Jesus is coming again. We're living in that time. How did we get so lucky? How do we get so lucky to know that the world is all going to turn upside down and get evil and bad? But you know what's been evil and bad the whole time? Because there is no hope without the hope of Jesus. And our hope is that he's a soon and coming king, but our hope is the little baby Jesus, all the way back 2,000 years ago, that still to this day is our Savior and our soon and coming king. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our celebration starts out as Isaiah prophetically tells us, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. We just sang about Emmanuel, didn't we? Isaiah prophesied the birth of Jesus 700 years before Jesus came. Isn't that incredible? What's the odds? God was going to send us his son Jesus, and he would be called Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Because God himself, the creator of the world, came to be with you and me. You know, Adam and Eve used to walk and talk with God in the garden. Said in the cool of the evening, God would call out for Adam. Can you imagine? How many of you would like to do that? Not today, it's too cold. I could put on a coat for God, though. Think of a nice spring, Utah spring or fall day. Weather's nice. Maybe the sun's just kind of setting and it's golden out there. And God goes, dude, where are you? And we start walking along and talking. What would you talk about? I think we'd talk about God things. But that's what Adam and Eve had. And then guess what happened? The woman and the man, they sinned. They blew it. Death entered into the world. We began to sin. And our sin separated us from God. And as a result, we all have earned death. Anybody here not sinned yet? Today? But see, we needed a Savior to reconcile us to God because we deserve death. That's Christmas, guys. Christmas is all about we deserve death. We see the first coming is God coming in a body to live and be with us. His birth led to his living a sinless life and becoming the perfect sacrifice for my sin. His coming as a newborn baby was real. God is with us, and he's still with us today. John says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And here we have John describing the Creator, the Word. Jesus is the Word. And he became flesh and was living with us. Jesus may have come as a baby, but he was God's only son. He was fully God and fully man. Jesus also says in John 6, and this is Jesus, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission to do what the Father asked him to do. Jesus came down from heaven, but he became because the Father had sent him. How many of you would say send the Savior of anything as a little baby? That didn't make any sense, does it? What can a baby do? Did you know that Jesus came down and he was God and he couldn't even change his own diapers? Well, I mean, Don, I'm sorry, that's true. He couldn't change his own diapers. But God sent him as a helpless little baby because God knew what we needed to beat sin and death. The birth that we celebrate is all about how God intervened in our lives to provide us a Savior. Jesus came down from heaven as a little baby. He came in innocence and without the ability to really do anything. His coming was the ultimate love of God, for he knew that we needed someone to pay the price for our sins. His first coming is so different from what his second coming will look like. Totally different. When he returns, Scripture says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. He's going to come back really quiet, like a little baby. Nobody's going to know. Doesn't say that, does it? His second coming is still Jesus came from heaven as a baby, but he's going to come from heaven with a shout. He's going to wake us up like the song Stephen just did. His first coming was as a baby, and only a few saw him. Only a few really knew what was going on. His second coming will be allowed, and everyone will see. He'll be coming from heaven with a trumpet. He's going to restore all things. He's going to bring us into his eternity. It's going to be the biggest party this earth has ever seen, at least for us, for those that have accepted the little baby and what he's done. For everyone else, not so much a party, is it? He first came in innocence and vulnerability. Matthew 2:13 says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. This little baby, this little innocent baby, Satan was doing everything he could to kill that little baby. We saw the wise man. The wise man saw the change in the heavens and began to look for the king. And they knew Herod was going to try to kill him, so they took off at different ways. Satan did everything he could to bring Jesus to death. But Jesus knew, God knew, that Jesus had a life to live and that he would willingly hang himself on a cross so that we could live. And that's all contained in the story of Christmas. It's all contained in that baby in the manger. Is that really Yoda in the manger over there? He was birthed in a barn, in a manger, with no earthly goods. They were broke, by the way. His birth had very little fanfare, and very few were even aware that God had come to the earth in our midst. He was in the world, and through the world was, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. How incredible that God himself was living in the world and no one really knew. There were some shepherds, some wise men, a few people around, but nobody knew. And then as he grew, his very people rejected him. His people were looking for the Messiah. And he was there. But they missed him. And a lot of them didn't just miss him, they didn't want him. Because having a Messiah would threaten their power, would threaten their position. And so they rejected him. Wouldn't want to be them. Wouldn't want to be them at all. Jesus lived and worked among them, and only a few saw him for who he really was. John the Baptist tried to tell them. John said, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now that is the message of Christmas. We could all put that message on the front of our houses, on our trees. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or my favorite rendition is, look, the Lamb of God who took away my sin and takes away my sin and redeems me and loves me and cares for me. How cool is that? Is that Christmas? That's Christmas. We see mangers and presents under the tree, all the things we do to celebrate Christmas, but really, look, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Our Christmas gift is the gift of salvation. He's the gift of redemption, the gift of eternal life. I believe that as we celebrate Christmas, we also must celebrate his soon and coming return, because my little baby Jesus is coming back to get me. How cool is that? Think about that. When Jesus had finished his work here on the earth, the scripture says, after he said this, he was taken up before them, before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky, and he was into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Christmas, guys. This is Christmas. It's all about Christmas. Our Christmas baby beat sin and death and provided salvation for anyone and everyone who would accept it. He left this earth and returned to heaven, but that wasn't the end, because this same Jesus who's just left is coming back, just like he left. I love celebrating the birth of Christ. Or, said another way, I love celebrating my salvation. I love the story of Mary and Joseph. I love the shepherds and wise men, the manger, even Yoda. Angels singing. I love knowing that God himself came fully as a man and as God. I love that he lived a sinless life and yet gave his life as a perfect sacrifice for you and for me. We have been redeemed by the Lamb of God. And all of this is the Christmas story. It really is. But it doesn't end there. Because what do I like? The second coming. Let's go to Revelations, the back of the book. And by the way, all of you that maybe tend to not read Revelation because it seems so hard, just go back and reread Revelation as what it really is titled. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Forget all the end time stuff. Read it as the revelation of our Christmas baby, because that's what the book's about. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. Do you know who they're describing right here? The baby. That same baby. This is him. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written. And his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, baby Jesus, Christmas, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, he's coming back. The same Jesus. Now, most of you here, I know, and I know that you all love Jesus, don't you? But I know you're all at some part in your walk and your journey with the Lord, right? Has there ever been a better time than this season to make sure that you're serving and bowing down and doing all that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has asked you to do? Right? You see, what's really cool is that he knows that each one of us continues to sin. Are any of you like me that you continue to sin? I do. I mean, it's tiny little things. Yeah, sin is sin. Sin is sin. But you know, sometimes I'll sin, and then I continue and maybe sin a little more, and then I kind of get a little hard and cold, and I don't pray like I should. I don't read the Bible. I don't have communion with Him. And then I start to get distance. You ever get distance from the Lord? Where you feel like maybe you're alone? And then you hear that voice. And by the way, I'm just telling you, that voice comes from the pit of hell. But the voice says, you're worthless. You're no good. God doesn't like you. Did you ever hear that? Can I tell you it's not true? Because that little baby came to completely annihilate those thoughts. That little baby came to be able to forgive you of your sins. Even the ones that you're going to commit. Because He already knows about it all. You see, Christmas is about victory. Christmas is about Jesus coming. And we could almost call it the third coming, because Jesus came, and then He came into my heart, and now He's going to come again. But really, Him coming as a little baby was how He came into my heart. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. Anna's going to come up and do the Advent. And as she's doing that, I want to also invite our prayer partners to come up. And if you'd like prayer, I'd like you to just come up and to pray. This is the time to celebrate Christmas and to celebrate giving your lives to Him completely. Anna?
Lighting the Advent candles again tonight or today. The first candle we lit was peace. Hope, I'm sorry. The second candle was the promise of peace. And today we're lighting the candle of joy. Jesus is the joy of our salvation. And at Advent, we light candles to remind ourselves of the light of hope, the promise of peace, and joy of salvation He brought to a lost and broken world. What is joy? Joy is a feeling of great happiness. It's pure bliss. It's overwhelming gladness bubbling up in your soul. And I would add, regardless of your circumstances, it's that joy. So we're going to light the candles again. And then we'll read some scripture from the Old Testament prophecy and the story of Jesus coming from the New Testament. This third candle here is the candle of joy. So the first verse I'll read is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And then we'll read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, thank you for sending Jesus to bring us salvation and restore our joy. We rejoice because he came to live with us and in us and through us. May the good news of great joy of Jesus' coming be ever on our lips. Help us to be yours as we wait for you to come again. We love you. Amen.